You know, there was a time when I was sitting in service, and he said, you know what, someday you're going to be a pastor's wife. Did I feel confident at that moment? Did I feel able? No way. I was the least to be expected to do anything like what I'm doing. But, you know, God is good, but he gives gifts to men. And he's doing that right now. So let's just take a minute and close our eyes. And Lord, whatever you guys, how this is, at whatever point you're able to surrender, surrender that to him. For me, it was my whole life. I would have gone a different direction. I would have been an accountant like my father. But I said, no, you get it all. You get it all. You get my goings, where I live, what I do, how I'm educated, how I'm not educated. You get it all. Wherever you're at in your life, wherever that point of surrender is for you, I just want you to take that before the Lord right now. And I just believe he's walking around and he's giving gifts. It says in Ephesians, he says, I gave gifts unto men, and I gave apostles and prophets, evangelists and pastors and teachers. And that's what he's doing right now. I don't know what it is that he's calling you to do. It might be something like this, but it might be something completely different. He needs all of us functioning like we're supposed to function. Let's just close our eyes for a minute and just open our hearts to the Lord. Lord, we just say yes to you right now. Thank you that you're right here in our midst. Holy Spirit, you are giving gifts to men, giving us abilities and dreams that we would never have on our own. We can never accomplish the things that you want us to accomplish on our own, but you give us the dream. You give us the ability, and I just thank you for doing that right now. We open our hearts, Father. We open our hearts wide, and we say yes to you, the God of the universe. We say yes to you. We thank you for meeting with us here, that you're right in our midst, and we honor you with our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Well, first of all, I want to say thank you to all of you for coming, and I want to say thank you to Joanne and Dolly for the amazing little dress. You know, I asked her, I said, hey, I need some cookies. And that's what we have. That's cookies to Joanne. So I'm so grateful. She always goes above and beyond, and so does Dolly. Thank you. Thank you for what you do. And that's serving Jesus. You know, I can cook, but I don't cook like that. So, you know, I want us to make a declaration before we start. I want us to make a declaration. I'm going to turn this around. Rachel, do this for me. Something to look at besides me while we're here. There we go. Praise the Lord. It's important what we say. It's important what we say. When we say something out of our mouth, it changes us, and it changes what's happening around us. Because we have the authority of Jesus Christ within us. So I'm gonna make a declaration, and I want you guys to say it, you women, to say it after me, but say it like you mean it. You know? So we are women of the word.
We are women of the word.
The Bible is the final authority.
The Bible is the final authority.
I'm not ruled by my feelings.
I'm not ruled by my feelings.
Circumstances or storms.
Circumstances or storms.
Or anything else.
Or anything else.
That challenges my faith.
That challenges my faith.
I'm a woman of the word.
I'm a woman of the word.
The Bible is true.
The Bible is true.
I'm a believer, not a doubter.
I'm a believer, not a doubter.
God's word is the final authority.
It is the final authority.
Amen.
Amen.
You all should have received a notebook when you came in and a little pen. And the title of my message today is The Frame. You go, what in the world? What do you mean by a frame? You know, we frame our world by our words and by our prayers. Like it or not, that's the way it is. As you know, we have a wonderful new grandson. While Rachel was pregnant, I prayed daily for her and that baby. It was my responsibility as her mother and as a grandmother, and a responsibility to the body of Christ as well. I prayed for a healthy pregnancy, for the development of the baby, and for a safe delivery. And praise the Lord.
Amen.
We checked every box. He checked every box. I had a detailed prayer sheet that I went over every day with scriptures and declarations that I prayed. It was important. I had a choice. Was I going to worry about these things, or was I going to commit them to the Lord in prayer and put the word on them? That was the question. I had an option. You know, things would come to my mind, and I'd be like, oh, that's my daughter. That's my baby. You know, she's going to be delivering a baby, and all of us who have done that, we know what that is. You know,
yes.
there's this teetering of life and death to me that happens right there in that moment, and we need God to be with us. But I had to make a choice. Am I going to worry or am I going to get in faith? Am I going to worry or put the word on it? And I chose to put the word on it. And you asked me, what did I pray for every day? Whatever was my concern.
Amen.
Whatever concerned me, whatever came to my mind, I immediately got a scripture for that. And if I didn't know a scripture, I'd go to one of my friends, somebody who's ahead of me in the game, and I'd say, how did you pray for your daughter like this? I texted you, Lois. I said, how did you pray for this? She gave me scriptures that helped me. And so every day I spoke over that. And so he was born December 1, praise the Lord. But then it was new prayers. And that's how this was all birthed. Mm-hmm. I said, I need to begin to pray over Caleb. I've never prayed for him before in this way, now that he's here. And that's how this all came about. So the main scripture that I want to start with today is Hebrews 11, verse 3. Hebrews 11, 3. And I just encourage, if you don't have your Bible or your phone app with you, to go home and look at it. It's important that we put our eyes on it. A powerful minister, he would always say, I can go to a meeting and I can preach, and they can listen to me, even read the Word of God. He said, but there's something happened when they put their eyes on it, because we believe that the Bible is true. There's something about when we read it, we go, ooh, I see it, but it's in the Word. Faith arises. So I want you to put your eyes on it. I'm going to read it here. This is from the Amplified Classic. It says, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed. What does that mean? Fashioned or put in order and equipped for their intended purpose by the Word of God, so that what we see was not made out of things which are visible. What is it talking about here? Creation. He said the worlds were formed. So he's pointing back, this Hebrew writer, there's always a question about who wrote Hebrews, but he's pointing back to Genesis 1, and he's saying the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So when God spoke, he framed it. He said, this is what it's going to be. The structure was put in place. When you look at the word, just the regular word frame, one of the definitions is an arrangement of parts that strengthen, support, and form the basic shape of something. So it's a structure. You think, what is the frame of the human body? It's our bone structure. Can you imagine my hand if I needed to grip something and grab it, if there were no bones in here? Now, we need the frame. And what is the frame? When God speaks his words, that's the frame. That's the solid, the strength, the structure that's behind our lives, whatever we're praying for, our very lives. Like this meeting, spoke the word over this meeting. This is what's going to happen. This is what is not going to happen. You know, sometimes we have to tell the devil, you stay out, shut up and get out.
Yes.
That's your only option. Shut up and get out. Yeah. You know, whoever's ministering, you know, we have challenges that we have to deal with. But it's like, devil, shut up and get out. And this is what's going to happen. We speak the word over it. The creative force of God was released when he spoke. Right. In the beginning, he didn't say, wow, what a mess. This is formless and void. He didn't say that, right? He said, let there be light. He spoke the creative word. And what happened? Light. You know, he goes through all of creation. And he spoke, and he got to man, and he said, let there be man. Let's make man in our image. And he breathed in him, and he came alive. He spoke it. That was the frame of the world. He framed it like the scripture says. And so what I want to talk about today is, in our life, what's concerning you? Is it your family? You know, is it your country? Is it your boss? Is it your neighborhood? What is it? What is it that concerns you? That's what we need to pray about. That's what we need to put the scriptures on. And that's why it's so vitally important that we're in the Word.
Yes.
You know, pastors always saying, read your Bible. I don't care how you read your Bible, just read it. I don't understand it. It's not easy. And the devil definitely doesn't want us to read our Bibles, right? He's like, I think you need to do something else. You need some coffee. You need to go for a walk. I don't care what you do. Just don't read. We need to read. We need to read every day. And to me, it's a lifestyle. We don't just read it once. I read through the Bible one time. No, we read through the Bible constantly. Our whole life, every day, we're reading. Why? We're getting to know the Word. And then when we need to frame something, we're like, ooh, I just read that yesterday. And we can speak it out of our mouth. And that's that creative force, framing. creating, putting strength. What did it say in the Hebrews passage? It said, it's fashioned and put in order and equipped for their intended purpose. So when we speak the word, things can accomplish what they're supposed to. Praise the Lord. When we pray the scriptures and the promises, I like to, the word, the scriptures, the promises, those are all one thing. It brings about change. Amen. It activates change. It's not like we're just speaking. My words are good. I have authority as a believer, right? But there's something different when we have the word of God. We have his very words, the power. Mm-hmm. It's the indestructible seed. Mm-hmm. He never forgets.
That's right.
He never forgets what we speak. When Rachel was little, I would tell her, this is a different book. She loved books. We were at the library. That's how I rewarded her. We're going to go to the library and get books. Isn't that easy? And we would read books. But I said, this book, this is a different book. This is God's book. These are God's words. They're alive. Yeah. It's sharp. It's powerful. This is different. That's why we have to know it. That's why we have to hide it in our heart. That's why we speak it over our situation. It changes everything. The enemy can't penetrate. You know, when Jesus was having his face-to-face when he was on earth with the enemy, what did he do? He could have called down angels and squished the devil. He could have choked him. He could have karate kicked him. He could have done a lot of things. But what did he do? He said, it is written.
Amen.
The sword of his mouth. That's the weapon of choice as a believer, the sword of our mouth. And this is the sharp two-edged sword. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, all scripture is inspired by God, or God breathed. Right? God breathed on this. What happens when God breathes? Well, Adam and Eve were created. He breathed the breath of life in them. All of us are, we're a residual of Adam and Eve because God breathed. Right?
Right.
In Ezekiel 37, there was a whole valley of dry, dead bones. What happened? God breathed. The whole army came. Dry, dead bones. All of a sudden, bones came together, muscle and sinew. Life began to flow, get snapping together. Can you imagine that sound? Oh, that would be such a wonderful sound to hear. Because he breathed. Now there's a whole army, right? What happened? How did he raise Jesus from the dead? He breathed on him. Romans 8:11, it says, the same spirit, that word in the Greek is pneuma, God breathed, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead quickens our mortal bodies.
Yes.
That's breath, the breath of God. But this is the breath of God. Mm-hmm. The Timothy passage says, all scripture is inspired or God breathed. That's why we can pray our prayers and they're powerful. He wants to hear our heart. But there's something, we take it to the next level when we open the scriptures and it comes out of our mouth. There was a season in my life when I had a lot of problems in my stomach. I had ulcers up and down, a lot of pain. And when I knew God had provided healing for me. I knew it was his will, but I had a journey to walk. You know, in the scriptures we see that Jesus would speak and immediately healings would manifest. That's wonderful when it happens that way. But what do we do when it doesn't happen like that? What do? We give him the word and we stand. And one of the things that he had me do, every day I would speak the scripture. Well, I started by reading healing scriptures. I read Dodie Osteen's book, Healed of Cancer. And in the back, she has all those scriptures. It was transformational for me. I read Christ the Healer, the F.F. Bosworth book. I consumed it all day long. But then he started putting on my heart, I want you to say it out of your mouth. And I was like, what? Say the scriptures out of my mouth? Why? I didn't understand it. But I said, okay, you obviously know what you're doing, and I don't. The disconnect is obviously on my part. So I would say the scriptures. I would read it first. Isaiah 53, you bore my sicknesses and you carried my pains. The chastisement of my peace was upon you. By your stripes I'm well. And as I began to speak it, again, it changed me, my mind, and then I spoke that imperishable seed and it changed my situation. I came to know the manifested healing power of God in my body. It took me 2 years. That's a long time. But you think if I wouldn't have done it, where would I be? Yeah. Who doesn't have 2 years, right? Scott and I were talking the other day and we heard an amazing story of a woman who had Parkinson's. And from what we understand, Parkinson's is a degenerative disease. It's not just like, oh, I had a shoulder problem, I need to go get therapy. No, it was degenerative. So things had, you know, they weren't going the right direction. But they began to pray and take communion, speak the word and stand in faith as family did. And after 9 years, her healing completely manifested.
Wow.
To this day, this woman walks and talks perfectly whole. There's no problems that were there before, but they stood. I don't like it when things last a long time, but sometimes they do. It's not because of God, it's because of us. And one of the pictures that he gave me during that season was, I was frustrated. Why is this taking so long? I know your word is true, but why am I not getting to that place of manifestation? And he kind of showed me a picture of like a big, a wall with tons of bricks. There was like the big cinder blocks and little bricks, but it was just huge and it was deep. I don't know how many feet deep, but very deep. And he said, every time you speak the word, we're taking a brick off. Wow. Every time, you know, when you're in church and faith arises and you get hands laid on you, it was a process. But I was constantly removing the bricks that I had allowed by unbelief and just letting things go. You know, in my life, that was a very important key for me. He said, just keep moving in the right direction, but keep speaking the word. Keep standing. Stay where you're supposed to be. And then all of a sudden, it started, the inertia got moving, and it was faster and faster and faster. And then things started breaking through faster and faster. But it started with the word. Mm-hmm. It started with just staying consistent and persistent. So I encourage you with that today. Isaiah 43:26. Let's look at that passage. Isaiah 43:26. This is kind of a funny verse to me. I didn't understand it for a long time. This is my take on it. It says, put me in remembrance. Let us argue our case together. State your cause that you may be proved right. And I like it in the Voice translation. It says, now help me, and the me is God. Help me remember. Let's get this settled. State your case and prove to me that you are in the right. Isn't that cool? It's like taking the word and saying, you said God, and I'm holding you to it. I believe it. So I'm going to state my case that we can be proved right. We're getting in agreement with him, basically, is what we're doing with that. But I think that's a powerful scripture for speaking the word back to him. I'm in agreement with you, God. I'm stating my cause. I'm putting you in remembrance. Let's get this straight. I'm going to jump ahead. In the Greek or Hebrew culture, in Hebrew culture, when they talk about remembering or giving a testimony, they believe that not only, so when the power was released in that instance, say God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage. They walked through the Red Sea and they went into their promised land after 40. But when they talk about that story, they not only believe that the power was released back then, but they believe that the same power is released in the moment that you share it. Right? That's in the Hebrew culture. So remembering or going over a testimony again, they believe that that same power is released. Wow. So when we put God in remembrance of his word, you said this. Or when I share my testimony about being healed, my story is not that important, but my story is important because God healed me. And there's those of us in this room, we're believing God for things. The same power is released here today. And the rabbi said that even when they would tell the stories and testimonies, they would go out into people's homes and they would minister to them. And they would share, someone would say, this is my story. And they saw healings just begin to manifest. They hadn't even prayed the prayer of faith. But they would see the same power of God released. So there's some kind of principle when we remember, when we share the testimony. I love when Scott on Wednesday nights or different times will say, let's talk about testimonies. What has God done for you, Jan? How have you seen the evidence of God in your life? Share your story. It not only encourages me, but it releases that same power. I like to think of it this way. We're all in a long line. And if God did something for the person who's, you know, way up ahead of me, he's going to do the same thing for me. He's no respecter of persons. But if he did that for them, met their need, the person who's ahead of me, I'm in the same line. He'll do it for me. So it causes my faith to rise. We can look at it and go, well, you know, look what they did for them. I'm still in my situation. That's the wrong approach. The approach is, he did it for them.
Yes.
He'll do it for me.
Yes.
Because he loves me the same.
Yeah. We're all his favorite.
So it's important that we tell our stories. It's important that we remember, going back to the word, and we share the word, and we speak it back to God, that power. What he did back then is released in the now.
Yeah.
One example of praying the word, Isaiah 41:10. It's one of my favorite passages, which they all are. Isaiah 41:10, it says, "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. For surely I will help you and strengthen you and uphold you with my righteous right hand." So when I'm praying the word over myself, this is the way I do it. I say, thank you, Lord. I do not fear. It's important to say that. I do not fear.
Yeah.
I do not fear. Fear, you have no hold on me. You have nothing in my life. I do not fear anything or anybody. Why? Because you're with me. I'm holding God's hand. I'm with the big guy. He's going to take care of me. I'm holding his hand just like a small child will hold the hand of their parent. You know, my brother, his responsibility when we went out places was to take care of me. I wasn't afraid. If there was going to be a fight, he had to fight it. I didn't have to. He took care of me. And that's how we are with God. He says, I'm with you. Don't anxiously look about you. Don't be anxious about anything. Because I'm going to strengthen you, and I'm going to help you, and I'm going to uphold you. That's what the word says. It takes us back to that place where our minds aren't just going, you know, just running this, here, and whatever. What does the word say? Coming out of my mouth, and it's speaking forth that imperishable seed. It puts that in motion. Praise the Lord. When you speak words about faith, they're in agreement with the Word of God. The Holy Spirit moves in with His power and brings them to pass.
Amen.
Yeah. One man of God said it this way. He said, we don't fight the devil. Jesus already did that.
Amen.
We declare the Word, and we let it fight for us.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
I'm going to say that again. We don't fight the devil. Jesus has already defeated him. But we declare the word, and we let it fight for us. It's powerful. We don't have to get all tangled up with him. We just declare the word, just like Jesus did.
Amen.
It is written. Isaiah 55:10, in the God's Word translation, says it this way. It talks about the principle of the word. It says, rain and snow come down from the sky, and they don't go back again until they water the earth. They make it sprout and grow so that it produces seed for farmers and food for people to eat. But my word, which comes from my mouth, is like rain and snow. It will not come back to me without results, but it will accomplish whatever I want and achieve whatever I sent it to do.
Amen.
Isn't that powerful?
Amen.
So when we line up with the word of God, we get in agreement with him. We put God's word in our mouth. That's what happens. It has to accomplish what it's supposed to. It has to. And sometimes when we start declaring the word, everything else looks formless and void. It looks a mess. God says, let there be light. So we get in agreement. We say, let there be light. Let there be light. And what happens? It begins to form. The light comes. The light comes. So it's about persistence. It's about speaking the word. Praise the Lord. God's words are activated when we pray them, and then they accomplish their intended purpose.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Psalm 103:20, that one's at the end, Audrey. Psalm 103:20 says, bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. So when we speak the word, angels are released.
Amen.
I feel like they're just sitting and waiting.
Yes.
You ever watch the tennis matches? I'm not much of a tennis person, but I like to watch them. And you give the, we heard a man speak recently, and he was one of those, I guess you call him a ball boy. You know, so when they do their, whatever, they volley back and forth, and then the tennis ball hits the net, one of those guys runs from the side. They have to stay in this ready position. And I feel like the angels are like that. The angels are in the ready position. They're waiting for us to speak the word. They're like, oh, I gotta go get that. Gotta go do that. Sometimes I just say, Lord, I need a battalion of angels. I need it around this service. I need it around this, you know, whatever's happening. We're going on a trip. I need you to surround us. There's warfare over this. I need the angels. And I'll speak the word and know that the angels of God, Psalm 91, encamp round about me and they keep me from all harm. I'm not going to stub my toe. Nothing's going to happen.
Amen.
I'm speaking the word of God. Psalm 91, wow, ladies, what a treasure chest.
Yes.
It needs to be part of your daily word. Perfect prayer. Praying the word of God is a perfect prayer. It's the will of God. It's the will of God, right? Speak it out of our mouth. It's perfect. It's like praying in tongues. What is tongues? It's praying the perfect prayer of God. When we are beyond ourselves, when we have the gift of the Holy Spirit that rises up out of our spirit, we're not tapping in. I can pray about 2 seconds by myself without the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And I feel like it's, you know, honestly, I'm sure God's listening, paying attention, but he's like, wow. But when I speak the word, it's different, right?
Amen.
Led by the Holy Spirit, it's different. When I pray in tongues, it's different.
Yeah.
We've tapped into that Holy Ghost power way far beyond what we're capable of doing.
That's right.
I'm just Terry the whatever, but when I have God inside of me working, I'm Terry the mighty because
Amen.
Christ in me, the hope of glory.
Amen.
Powerful.
Yes.
The perfect prayer. So when we're praying for our loved ones, we're praying for our situation, we're framing it in and we speak the word, it's powerful.
Yes.
It doesn't just stop with us. It's way beyond us. So have faith. Whatever you're praying for, Caleb, whatever you're praying for, whatever direction you need, pray the word. Find a scripture. There was something we were standing for. You know, we go to a minister's conference usually every year. And we have friends there. And there was a friend there. And I was believing God for something. And we had talked with them about it. And before we went back into the session, he said, what's your scripture that you're standing on for that thing? And I said, well, I said, hold on. Let me go get my Bible. Because I had it. I just couldn't quote it. But it just spoke to me about, what's your scripture, Terry? What are you standing on?
Yes.
Because when I take the scripture and I put it back to God, I talk to God, I put him in remembrance, we talk about it. You said, this is your will. I'm holding you to it.
Yeah.
He's pleased with that. But there's power in that. What is your scripture? You know, this year when I went to my conference, I said, it manifested. You know, our friend that we had seen last year, he was like, what's your scripture? And this year, you know, it came to pass.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord, God is good. I also want to talk about declarations. So we're praying the word. Then also, I like to make declarations. I heard Keith Moore say this once. He said, whenever I get on an airplane, he says, I say this. This plane is going to take off, and it's going to land.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, I have the authority. The angels of God are around me. He goes, I'm not going to be afraid. He said, I speak to it. Plane, you're going to take off, and you're going to land. No problems. This plane will not crash. That's a declaration.
Yes.
With the authority. I'm speaking by the will of God. It's not God's will that I go down today. This is not my day to die. It's not my day that this plane goes down. So I'm in agreement with God, and then I speak it forth. That's a declaration. The definition of declaration is to make clear and plain, to make known an affirmation or open expression of facts, opinions, promises, and predictions. Let me read that again. What is a declaration? It's to make clear and plain, to make known an affirmation or open expression of facts, opinions, promises, or predictions. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of your tongue. It's a powerful force. I meditated on that one day. The Lord kept taking me back to that. Death and life are in your mouth. And I was like, okay, what does that mean? A lot of us would think death and life are in how much money I have, right? You know, I can decide where I live. Death and life are in my country. How safe is my country? How safe is my neighborhood?
Yeah.
Death and life, we might think, are in, like, how good is my doctor? Death and life are in my mouth.
Amen.
It's in my mouth. What am I saying? It's powerful when you think about it. So when we make declarations, this plane's going up, this plane's coming down, it's powerful because we speak with the authority of Jesus. Don't ever forget that. Mark 11:23. The story there, Jesus is out with his disciples. We've all heard it. So much going on with that fig tree, Israel and all that. He speaks to the fig tree. He curses the fig tree and dies. And they're like, what just happened? Can you speak to something and it dies? He just did. So they're talking, and he says, first of all, I want to say, in verse 22, he tells them, have faith in God.
Yes.
Have the faith of God. Then he goes on to say, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever, everybody in this room, whosoever shall say to this mountain, sure, there was a mountain just right there. Why would he say mountain? Say to this mountain over here. It'd be like us saying, see that house over there? Whoever will say to that house over there, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, that's very important, but believes that those things which he says will come to pass, and he will have whatsoever he says. It's powerful. It's a recipe. We like recipes, right?
Yes.
Judy like recipes, right? I love recipes, because I'm no good with that. We mix faith. We remove the doubt. We say and declare it. And we stand in persistence. Right?
Right.
That's the recipe. That's the recipe for what we're believing for our family. We mix our faith. What is faith? I simply believe the word of God. I have faith in the word. He said it. It's a promise. It's my faith. My faith is in the word. I remove the doubt. Sometimes we get our doubt. Our head can still swirl around with what if, what if, what if. Not. But my heart is solid. I believe the word with all my heart. So don't be concerned if you have some crazy doubts. Of course, you need to snuff it out, just like a candle.
Yeah.
But we remove the doubt, then we say it and declare it. This is what's going to happen. This is what's not going to happen. I speak the word, and then I'm going to stand. I'm going to be persistent, right? And then we see it come to pass. It's the recipe that he's given us in the word. 2016, I was praying about a situation. I was not seeing the results that I wanted to see. I kept praying about something over and over, and I was like, what am I missing? I knew the disconnect was on my side. He woke me up one morning. I don't know, my mind just hears God better in the mornings, which, you know. So 5 o'clock in the morning, he starts speaking to me. He tells me 3 things. I'm praying about this situation, and this is what he says to me. I was like, this is not what I expected to hear. But this is what he said, 3 things. You will have whatsoever you say, Terry. Mm-hmm. He addressed my mouth. 2, only say what you want.
Amen.
Number 3, don't say it if you don't want it.
Mm-hmm.
Because why? There's death and life in my tongue.
That's right.
Yeah. So over my family, whatever, I didn't expect him to talk about my mouth. I expected him to talk about this thing that I was praying about. He went back to my mouth. He said, what are you saying? What are you not saying? So he addressed it. So number 1, you will have whatsoever you say. Only say what you want. And don't say it if you don't want it. It's important. There's a minister that Rachel and I like to listen to. And she likes to put this at the end of every statement that we make. She said it makes you decide whether it's a good statement or not, or if you want to. So if you can put this at the end of it, and that's just the way I like it. If you can put that, so if he said, my house is a mess. It's always a mess in here, and I think I'm going to go crazy. And that's just the way I like it. Can I put that at the end of it? No. I should not be saying that. This stupid car, every time I come out here, the tire is flat. And that's just the way I like it. I'm not going to say that. I'm going to say, my car is blessed. That's my church bus out there. We take stuff to church. We take people to church. That's my church bus. It's paid off. That's my church bus. It's blessed. That's what I say about my car.
Yes.
So just remember that. If you can say, and that's just the way I like it, then it's a good thing to say. If you can't say that, you probably should change your words. You should change your words. I had that on my whiteboard, Jane, for what, 2 years. It was on my, she stays with my dogs and we travel, and I just had to keep that in front of me. Don't say that, Terry. If you can't put that at the end of it, you should not be talking about that. Praise the Lord. So the criteria for praying over our families and making a declaration, we want to make sure it's according to the word, right? Is it according to the word? We don't want to say stupid stuff. We have authority over darkness. and not people. Mm-hmm. Always remember that. We have no authority over people. We're not into witchcraft. We're not into that. Mm-hmm. We're praying according to the will of God. What does God's word say? It says, I wish that all men would come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that not one would perish. So when we're praying for the salvation of our neighbors, our family members, anybody, we know it's the will of God. That's not spiritual witchcraft. And God leaves the deciding factor. Joanne, you can decide what you do. You can decide if you serve Jesus. You've decided to serve Jesus. But God leaves that alone. So just know that when we pray, we're not doing any weird stuff. We're just praying the word of God. We're praying for the goodness of God in people's lives. But they decide. But don't get it confused. There are people that do stuff like that, and it's wrong. So we never step over into that place of, I've even heard it called Christian witchcraft. And that's ridiculous. We do not do that. Mm-hmm. So when we're framing people up, it's according to the will of God. Yes. It's with the right heart. We're not controlling anybody. Mm-hmm. We never need to get confused about that. Mm-hmm. I'm going to share a few testimonies. And again, like I said, why do we share testimonies? Because it causes faith to rise. Bunny, when you tell me your stories, it helps me. When Jack Fatton tells that story about his wife, Becky, and they were out of food, you know, he worked contract, he was out. His wife would go in every day. He loved biscuits, and they were down to, they could have biscuits and gravy, I think, or biscuits and rice, something like that. And she'd go in there, she'd take the flour out, close it up. It never went down until he got another job. She'd go in there, she'd be like, that's the way it was yesterday. She'd take the flour out, make the biscuits, and that's what they'd eat. The flour never went down until he got another job, and all of a sudden they were out of flour, but they could buy it. That encourages my faith. When I have a need, that encourages my faith, right? That's who God is. And if he did it for Jack and Becky, he'll do it for me. He'll do it for you, Audrey. Mm-hmm. Whatever you need, you look at your bank account and you go, yikes, we're in trouble. God did it for Jack and Becky. They'll do it for me. It's enough. Scott worked commission sales. There were months we got zero. You ever had a paycheck that said zero? I don't know why they'd give him that check. Why would they do that? They've done it a lot. I'd be like, that does not help me. And we'd look at me and go, enough. You are enough.
Amen.
We spoke enough over that. I don't know how we'd make it through, but we always made it through, even when we had the zero paycheck. Zero. Why? He'd go, here's my paycheck. And we go, enough. And you are enough. But God always met our supply, just like he did Jack and Matthew's, right? Mm-hmm. Thank you, Jesus. We are not in commission sales anymore. We built big muscles doing that. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
When I was born again at the age of 9. When I got in high school, I walked away from the Lord. He never walked away from me. His love was just on me. Like a fly on cake. He was all over me. Not like he's a fly, but you know what I'm saying. He was close all the time. My mother and her friends were always praying for me. One night, and I'm sharing this with you because I know some of you have people in your lives that need prayer. They're not following Jesus. They're not making right decisions. A lot of us have children. Most of us have children or grandchildren in the room or people that we pray for. Always pray for them. Amen. God's always working. You know what my experience was as I ran the streets of this town? Drunk, God was with me.
Mm-hmm.
He was still talking to me. I didn't deserve that. He was good to me. One night, we smuggled me into a nightclub, a dance club. I was underage. I could have gotten arrested, but I don't know. I was in this dance club. I found myself in there. And I knew my parents were praying for me. They didn't know where I was at, but I don't think they did. I don't know. Maybe they did. Parents know more than what we think, right?
Right.
But they were always praying for me. I'm in this dance club. A guy asked me to dance and get out in the middle of the dance floor. And he was so nice. He was so different. And he said, what are you doing here? I said, I'm dancing. Acting a fool like everybody else in here. And he said, you don't belong here.
Wow.
Ruined my whole night.
Thank you.
Wow. It ruined my night. He was an angel.
Yeah.
I can still remember that young man's face.
Yeah.
He didn't belong there, neither was I, but the prayers of my parents saved me.
Mm-hmm.
Shortly after that, my parents took me to church. Forever changed my life.
Wow.
I surrendered completely to God, but I know it was the prayers of my parents. It takes a village to get us where we need to be.
Yeah.
Pray for your loved ones. Pray for your children. Pray for your grandchildren. Pray for your neighbors. We have a wayward neighbor. It's right next door to us. We pray for him every day. He needs Jesus. Pray for them. God is working on them. God's speaking to them. It may not look like it. I'm sure my mother was thinking, oh my goodness, what is she doing? But God was working on me.
Amen.
His mercy ran after me. Like Psalm 23 says, it says, the mercy and goodness of God, it aggressively pursues us. If you look in the Hebrew, there's an aggressive running after. I aggressively pursue you. I come upon you and I overtake you with my goodness. You don't deserve it. That's who he is.
Amen.
We're in this beautiful dispensation of grace.
Amen.
It's beautiful. We don't deserve it, but he's chasing after us. Pray for your people. Pray for them every day. Speak the word of God. When they go out and you're like, they're on my mind, go in your closet, hit your knees, pray. Their life might be hanging in the balance. There was nights I'd be at 3 o'clock in the morning and I'd be like, I need to go home. Somebody was praying for me. I didn't need to go home. So go home. Now tell them what would happen if I would stay out after that. God is good.
Yes, he is.
And there's no other place in the world than I would rather be than right here.
Amen.
And that's the goodness of God. This is where I want to be. I love church with all my heart. We're going to be in church for eternity.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
Yes. Serving God with our brothers and sisters in Christ, full of light and life and hope, worshiping our merciful God. Glory. Had another encounter. I told this a few Wednesday nights ago, but I feel to share it again. A few years back, I had a lot of oppression on me. It was just an assignment of the devil. I wasn't controlling my mind, but I was just underwater day and night. This thing, I had to listen to music. It's got to hold my hand when I went to sleep. It was just a mess. Went on for about 2 months, and I just could not seem to shake this thing. Alvin Train. I'm stuck at the Alvin Train over here. Kevin Kitchen, this was when Kevin was still alive. He pulls up next to me. We roll our windows down. You know, we exchange words. The train goes. We pull off. About 2 blocks down, I'm like, what happened? The oppression had lifted off of me. He prayed for me. I don't know what he prayed. We didn't even talk about it. He said, hey, I've been depressed. I didn't say that. You know, I wasn't smart enough to say that. I should have said that. Didn't say it. I was like, I'm going to handle this on my own. I was doing a terrible job. But I know that he prayed for me because 2 blocks later, all of a sudden I'm free.
Uh-oh.
Here come the tears. Somebody prayed for me. When you run into people, pray for them. You don't know what they're carrying. You don't know what they're walking through. Pray. Frame it up. God, give me a scripture right now. Maybe they're about to walk into a troubled situation. Declare, I thank you in Jesus' name that they will get home safely. That nothing will happen to them. Praise the Lord. Another story I want to tell. Some friends of ours, grandson was out walking home from school, and his mother, grandmother, would pray for him every day. He's walking, and all of a sudden, the child, he's about 10 years oldish, I believe. All of a sudden, he feels the urge to run. He just starts running fast as he can. Lightning strikes right where he was. What is that? That's the protection of God. That's what he does when we pray. Who would think that lightning would strike children walking down the street? I didn't think that. But he was kept safe because people were praying. Praise
the
Lord. And I'm going to share this last testimony. Financial debt. Scott and I had at a season in our life about $30,000 of unsecured debt. It wasn't our car, our house, student loans, dumb decisions. We just had this debt. We knew we needed to get out from underneath it. We could not seem to get out from underneath that no matter what we did. We prayed over it, but we just kept on. We prayed about it every day. We spoke the scriptures over it every day. We planted seed. We did everything we were supposed to do. We got our finances in line as far as our giving, everything we were supposed to do. But still, this thing was hanging over us. And we just kept praying. We stayed persistent. And all of a sudden, something happened. In a matter of about 60 days, it was all wiped out. That's Jesus. But we got a hold of the word. We trusted that it was true. We did not quit. We spoke to it. So any of you in here that have financial challenges, get a hold of the word. Get a scripture.
Yes, yes,
so if I said, what's your scripture, Julie? What's your scripture, Brittany? What's your scripture, Kelly? If you don't know, ask somebody. So I've got this situation. Lois, what can I do about this? Miriam, what can I do about this? Or just get in your Bible and God will begin to speak to you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. What he did for me, he'll do for you. That's who he is. Praise the Lord. Like our scripture said in the beginning, Hebrews 11:3, by faith, we understand that the worlds were framed.
Yes.
What does it mean? Fashioned, put in order, equipped for their intended purpose. My purpose was not to live for the devil.
Amen.
My purpose was to live for Jesus, to stand here today. Thank you, Lord, you got me back on track. Oh, my goodness. That's what we're supposed to do. So when we pray the word, it gets us back on track. It gets the situation back on track. If I never prayed for Caleb, I don't know, you know, what would happen. I'm sure his parents are praying for him and his grandparents. But it's important that we pray.
Mm-hmm.
It aligns them with God's word. It aligns them with God's will. That's what we're supposed to do. Let's frame up our world. Let's frame up our people with the word of God. So how do we build a frame? So number one, who? Who's on your heart? Or what's on your heart? Maybe it's a nation. Maybe it's a state. What's on your heart? Who is it? That's what you need to define. And then secondly, what concerns you? What concerns you about that person or that situation? And then what is the promise? What is the word of God? And sometimes I'll just write it down. I don't have a promise for a while. I'll be like, I got a blank on that, Lord. So I'll just write, I kind of put a little frame in my journal, and I wait for it. And I'll say, Lord, show me. But I keep my ears open. Might be in a service, and someone will say a scripture, and I go, that's it. That's my scripture for that situation. That's my scripture for that person. So even if you're not sure, start somewhere. Start somewhere. Just, I'm going to frame it up, Lord, but you're going to have to help me because I don't know. What's my weapon of choice? What's my scripture of choice? I feel like we have tool belts. You know, we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We have the word of God that comes out of our mouth. What's my tool of choice for this situation? And I just wait for him to speak it to me. And then when he does, oh, I write it and I got it. And then I can hold on to it until I see that thing come to pass.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Start somewhere and ask for help if you don't know. Just ask somebody. What's a good scripture for this? And you may be like, oh, well, that scripture is pretty good. It doesn't really speak to me. Well, it's a place to start. I'll use Lois' scriptures until I get my own. That makes sense. Which, all of them are ours, but you know what I mean? Sometimes one really speaks to us. I'm waiting for that one that really speaks to me. But if I don't have it yet, I'll use one that someone else has. Because the word of God is for all of us, right?
Amen.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So just in summary, your prayers are powerful. I think, what if my mother and her friends were not praying for me? I don't know what would have happened. I'm so grateful.
Amen.
I'm so grateful that God put me on their heart to pray for me. Amen. Praise God. So you think about your situation. What if you weren't praying? Not that we, you know, God's so merciful and gracious, but we have a part to play. Let's do our part. Let's show up as faithful soldiers. Yes, Lord, what is my part to play? I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Who do you need to be praying for? What else do we have to do, right? Let's pray for our people. Let's commit to doing our part so he can do his. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Okay, so I'm going to close out today. And I just want to, number one, I want us to commit to praying for whatever it is, whoever it is that the Lord's put on our heart. And know this, it's just like, to me, prayer, I know this is kind of a weird comparison, but it's like exercise and eating right. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifelong journey. Sometimes when I pray every day, I'll pray every day, I don't miss a day, and then, you know, things happen. And then I'm like, you can get discouraged. So we don't want to allow discouragement to come, right? So even if you don't pray for 2 weeks, jump back on your prayer, and how do I say it? Actually, don't jump on anything, get on your knees, but get committed again. So I want to encourage you with that. Don't be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. Be persistent. And as we transition, what I want to do is I want to have Rose and Rachel and Audrey come up. I know there's needs here today, and I just want us to have a time of body ministry. Sometimes we just need someone to lay their hands on us and pray for us, right? I just need that sometimes. I just need prayer. Just pray for me. Put your hands on me. What happens? The power of God is released when someone gets in agreement with us. So if you three would just come, Rose, Rachel, and Audrey. And don't sit in your seat. Don't leave here with any regrets, please. I've done that before. I've left a meeting and said, you know what? Why did I leave? What was I thinking? Don't do that. If you have something on your heart you want agreement, come. Come. No regrets. Live a life of no regrets. I stand here today, and that's my goal in my life. Sometimes I still have regrets, but let's do it. Let's do this, Suzette. Let's don't leave with regrets today. So, praise the Lord. We're going to pray. If you need to go, go. Feel free to get food. Love each other. But let's stay in an attitude of prayer and ministry. If you've got something for one of your neighbors, pray for them. Share it with them. But let's receive what God has for us today. Thank you so much for coming, guys. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.